I was in Okene and I was to cast out, after the meet, during the meeting too, we were to cast out a demon from a particular person. And of course, my usual way is the guy way. Guy. Anything more than guy, I'm not involved. If it's Jesus, if it's this same power, we have to do it. People should not come into the scene and not be sure who they are casting a demon from, whether the pastor. I don't like that one. We should know who has power here and who does not have power. Not. But the way the pastor is shouting, he's even shouting more than the demonic possessed person. And then we are wondering who has a demon actually. So I don't really like that. And so as I started to minister deliverance to her, the Lord spoke to me and said, go back to the, because the service had not ended. And God told me I had to end the service first before I, because that was actually a decoy. The enemy was going to distract me from the service. Do you understand some of these things? And so I left the case and I went back to preaching. So my friend Kay went, they took the ladies behind, and when he got there, the pastors doing the deliverance were beating her physically. Get out! I'm punching the lady's head. I'm telling you. And actually, she was operating a kind of, I don't want to call it witchcraft. Man, maybe we'll go for village evangelism. You see, I have become so butty that at times when I'm casting out a demon, I am so careful because I have seen abuse in church settings, whether in laying on of hands or in casting out of demons or in making people feel terrible, especially anointed. I've seen people call out witches, not in a village meeting, not in a mission, not in an evangelistic meeting, in a church setting. You call out a 13-year-old girl that she's a witch. And that is very devastating. So I've seen stuff like that. So it has made me very careful. So I noticed that whenever I go to cast out a demon, I say very stupid things like, you negative influence, finding expression in this daughter of God. It's not negative influence, it's a demon. But I'm usually very, you know, careful not to, you know, but that's not even the care of the Lord. That's just being, that's being too careful. And so actually, in that particular case, there was meant to be some investigation because the babe was operating, the demonic operation in her had a corporation. Do you understand that? Had a corporation. She was operating it. And then at that kind of, in such cases, the person at times would have a desire to let go. So at times, before you even go into deliverance, you discuss with the person and let the person know how, what she's having, what she's operating is not good for her and the love of Jesus and how Jesus we want something better, you know, for her. And that was exactly what I heard when I went there. But because I needed to preach, I didn't have time to preach to her and investigate. But the other guys thought that, let's just keep calling down fire. And so when Kay went back there, and when I went to him, I asked him what's up. And it was the same thing that God told me, God told him. And so he had to push those guys away and say, stop beating the lady. And an investigation was done. And because I didn't have time, a minister of God investigated. And then he had a word of knowledge. This Jesus is beautiful. And he asked her, can you tell me that when she was conscious of herself? You don't ask, you don't question demons. Amen. And so he asked her, what happened when you were 6 years old? Because he had six. He asked her, what happened when you were 6 years old? And then She told him what happened when she was 6 years old. And it was in that experience, I don't want to go into details, that the gate was opened, and she gave that operation some level of cooperation. And so the question will now be, do you want to let go of this? Now, this is not all the time. Most of the times, people don't even know stuff. So, what am I saying? Only God can define warfare for you. Amen. Or else you would, and that's why you notice those going for some of these deliverance mountains, not all, some of them, where their practice do not follow the word of the Lord, you will notice that they keep going for the deliverance, and they keep going, and they keep going. You see, because there are lessons to be learned, but there isn't one formula for every situation. Are you together with me? The only formula we have is that eventually it will be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I hear your amen? Amen. The only formula we know is that it will be in the name of Jesus, but at times the route to that is different. But the first thing we do is that we say, in the name of Jesus, out. So it takes revelation knowledge to understand warfare. Huh? Why? Is it because the war itself is not just an the war that we are in is not only issue based. There are warfares regarding issues. That is the issue of your career, marital, family, and all of that. There are warfare in that regard. Amen. But actually, the foundation of warfare is not issue-based. Warfare is the warfare between light and darkness. It is more based on the difference in perspective, divine perspective, and Lucifer's perspective. Warfare is not issue-based. Are they issue-based warfare? Yes, but the foundation of warfare is not issue-based. The foundation of warfare is based on perspective, light and darkness. Give me the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. Now, what I'm saying is very simple, but if you don't understand this, you cannot war successfully. If we arm ourselves and we engage warfare, and the only understanding of warfare is issue-based, maybe the warfare of who's, you are the only person that graduated in your family, you are the only person that crossed 30 years. Now, those, you might laugh at those warfares, but if you go to some places, those are real warfares that exist. Amen. They are real warfares that exist. My friend went somewhere in Benue, and a small boy told him, pray for me. He said, what happened? He said, I matched poison. And he thought maybe the boy did not understand what he's saying. Maybe a match. Maybe. And when he looked at the boy's leg, actually he matched poison. That poison means jazz. In their village, they can just put a jazz on the floor. If you just match it like this, your destiny will just take another road. And one of his legs is heavier than the other one. He was ministering to one girl, to one young boy, and a baby. By the time he laid his hand on a baby, he laid his hand on the baby. The baby was pushing away his hand. And then he waited on the Lord, and the Lord took him straight to what was on the baby's neck and on his waist. And when he was about taking it out, the baby began to really struggle. And so he called the mother. Where did you get this from? He said, there is one doctor that gave them for his teeth. That doctor, traditional lab, an herbalist, says for his teeth, the pain in his teeth. And so they took out the one on his neck, and they told the mother to take out the one on his waist. By the time she took it out, she flew under the anointing of Satan. And she just touched it. She just passed out. They had to start another deliverance on her. So appreciate that all these cases, to some degree, it has been cleansed in your life and in this community. But don't think they are not real. If you go out there, and that's why you must also learn how to operate these dimensions. Don't. If you can't go there now, I'm telling them about the soul. What happened to the soul? That, you know, we need to. The man is a spirit that has a soul. Amen. Are you together with me? It is the power of God. It's the same Holy Ghost. Amen. So you must be open to the Spirit, and not just open to your own world, your own biblical world. All the rise in deliverance ministries, don't think it's just somebody being stupid. It's because there were real cases, real issues. There could have been an extreme to it, but we must be able to operate it. Don't say deliverance, those are baby demons. Those are less than. If it's less, then deal with it. Do you understand that? Everybody here should be able to cast out devils. Amen? Amen? And so maybe we'll go to a demon-infested area, and then we'll do practice, and we'll cast out devils. Of course, you know that demonic possession is very rare. Many of us have not met a demonic possessed person. Most of what we call demonic possession is either obsession or oppression. Are you together with me? Even though the demon is what we call manifesting. When you talk about demonic possession, you're talking about when the demon has found access into the spirit. Amen. Which is rare. So a Christian can never be demon possessed, but a Christian can obviously be demonic obsessed or oppressed. But he would have to open the doors. I don't know if you're together with me. Amen. Praise God. Why am I talking about this today? It's not the spirit. Maybe it's because of some of the issues that we had to deal with. But I'm talking about warfare. So life is till death is taken out of the way. Life is what? Is warfare. Do you understand that? But it's beautiful warfare. We know the end of the warfare. The end of the warfare is that Jesus is victorious. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So give me verse 3. Or let's start from 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Can we start again from verse 1? Now, I, Paul, myself, I'm pleading with you by the meekness. Can we say prayer? Can we pray? Can we say, Father, we ask for grace and utterance, understanding, open our hearts. Father, I ask that you cause me to speak right. I connect with the anointing, the rabbi anointing. I connect with it, the teaching anointing, the grace that flows with communication, divine communication. I ask for utterance, and I ask for an atmosphere touched by the Holy Ghost. I ask for a spirit-infested atmosphere that conveys revelation from the mouth of the preacher and lands it even in the hearts of the hearers. I will rebuke any other atmosphere that is contrary to the delivery and the receiving of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Can we say a big amen? Amen. Come on, give me a big amen. Amen. So I upon myself, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So when you see Paul, verse 2, give me verse 2. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Let me try to give you an explanation to this. That you see, not just that Paul's stature, not just that he was frail in stature. Even his person was full of so much gentility and simplicity that some people came to the church in Corinth and began to prove like they're true prophets. Amen. Do you know there is a human tendency all the time that we take for granted people that are simple? Do you know that? I have noticed that over and over again. We easily and usually take for granted simple people. When a servant of God is not boastful, is not braggadocious, there is this tendency of taking the person for granted. Amen. Whereas when you go to another place where another servant of God who is less mature than the other one, but carries, you know, a lot of people just like to be oppressed. If you're not going to oppress us, we're not going to follow you. I'm telling you the truth. It is very strange. It is easy for us to respect. Do you know, if we invited the man of God who comes in with maybe 5 huge protocol guys, you know, with some serious swag and just enters, you know, everybody's wondering, who is this great person? That's the way the human mind works, especially the African mind. And so there is usually this tendency of taking for granted people that we find to be simple. And I think, do you know that even some preachers, when they go to places to minister, they intentionally go with a lot of clout so that they wouldn't be taken for granted. We have that tendency of taking simple people for granted. If the person was crazy and loud, because we respond in the flesh. Do you understand this? So that's what Paul was saying. Paul, the Corinthian church was beginning to really take Paul for granted. Paul actually is the father of this church. He built this church. But you know, some apostles came in, and the people were submitting to some apostles. Amen. The people were submitting to some apostles because those ones have the language, the noise, the clout, the swag, so to speak, the paraphernalia. Amen. And listen, like I said before, Many people try to bring these things around their lives because they know the people will disrespect them if they don't. And also, frankly speaking, my few years of being in God's service, I also noticed this. And there is that temptation to do that, even from my side. But why it's difficult for me is that I just cannot engage, relate in atmospheres that are not ordinary. I find it difficult. I like to speak ordinarily. I believe that the glory of God will be made manifest if we see the power of God expressed in earthen vessels. I don't like when the word earthen vessel means weak vessel, where power comes out of weakness. I don't like it when the vessel is even as powerful as the power. So you're wondering which is the power, which is the vessel. But you see, many of us are not mature enough to discern that is this power or vessel. Much of what we call power is still the vessel. It's just a powerful vessel. It's not like the power of God is being made manifest through the vessel. It's just that the vessel has become so powerful. But the vessel ought to be what? Ought to be weak, normal. And that's why I tell my babes that are in music, I say, you don't have to, when you want to sing, don't even put unnecessary spiritual language on even your songs. Don't, just be normal. The way you worship Him at home, start that way and let it grow gradually. I feel it's hypocrisy if how we talk to our children and talk, I might be wrong, and this is not a law that goes for everyone. But I just, don't let me use the word hypocrisy. That might be too strong. I don't think it's very good when your preaching voice is different from your talking voice. I don't know why. Maybe an anointing call. I don't know why. But I just feel that we should talk normally. Amen. That's what I think. And I think that it comes with growth and maturity. As we grow and mature, we'll find out that it's not about us. Do you understand that? What will make my preaching powerful is not because my voice has become more powerful. You know, I won't be shocked if I find out that there are some pastors that go for voice training or speech modulation and all that madness. You are not a radio presenter or a jingle, what do they call them? So, voice over person. It does not translate to power. If God gives you the gift of eloquency, don't have decide to spoil your English because that has no power. Enjoy it. It can add value to communication, but it will not necessarily bring change. Are you together with me? I said, are we on the same page? And that's why some pastors would like to use Bishop Gio, Bishop Doctor, you know, just something to make the people know that this person that is your pastor is not a normal person. You see, you guys might not, you see, we might not understand what I'm saying, though. You might not, this is a serious issue. You know, some pastors have lost their members to some bishop that was invited. And the guy thought that, because when the bishop came with a lot of harassment, the members just thought that, who is this? This is our pastor, does not even have power. Amen. And then they flock towards the bishop, and the bishop does not send them back to their pastors. You know, it is ministerially unhealthy, and it's wrong for you to connect with another flock members in a very personal way without the shepherd giving you a permission to do that. Amen. Are we on the same page? So there is usually that tendency, and some people, some ministers, in trying to protect that, add some. You know, some ministers are not very busy, but the reason they form business is that they know that the more their members see them, the more they'll disrespect them. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And that tendency is real. You see your pastor on Monday, you see your pastor on Tuesday, you see your pastor on Wednesday. You see your pastor on Thursday. Every day you see him. Maybe one day we'll just be passing you to your pastor. Pastor, how are you? How's everything? Well, no rain ain't gonna be. I take care, Ryan. Take care. I'm telling you. There is that tendency. But the one that you see with shining suit once in 6 months with the shoes, you would even assume that that is how he comes to preach, is how he sleeps at home. When you want to imagine him, you imagine him when he's preaching. Like, Kai, when are they going to bring this man again to our church? And then he just comes as though he's coming straight from heaven, and then there is that tendency. So that's the same tendency that was happening in this particular church. And then Paul is saying that you guys can't judge me in the flesh. Let's read it again. Let's start from verse 1. So, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, like I'm part of you. And you know, this is Jesus's manner of ministry. You know that. That when they needed somebody to single him out, Judas had to go kiss him, because when you enter into their midst, you would not be sure who Jesus is. Why? Because he looked exactly like the people. I don't know if you are together with me. He looked like the people. They looked like the same. You wouldn't be sure who Jesus is. Is among the people. I personally feel that at some level, not there could be times where it becomes not practicable, but I believe that at some level the leader should be in the midst of the people. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel that's leadership. I feel that's where transfer happens. I feel that's where lessons are learned and lives are blessed. And he was in the midst of the people. But being absent, I'm bold towards you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. You see, because at this time, the church had become very stupid, very foolish. And then Paul is saying, this time around, if I come, I won't be nice. I'm going to be tough on you guys. And he's saying, don't be shocked when I'm tough on you guys. Who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh? For though we walk in the flesh, you see, in the flesh we might look normal. But that normal, if you check where warfare is going on, for we do not war according to the flesh. So, plus the man that is gentle and plus the man that is arrogant and puffy, none of these two things can bring success in spiritual warfare. Do you get what I'm talking about? For the weapons of warfare are not carnal. The weapons of warfare are not what? Are not carnal. So, my preaching will not get more anointed the day I drive a Land Rover. But hear this. You might not fully agree, or you might not have looked at it. But the day a preacher enters here with maybe, which car is expensive? Maybe a G-Wagon. And his protocol enters with a new Range Rover. And we all see him and he enters in. You're expecting more from him. Somehow in our minds, Kai, man, where does Pastor Zach get all these great men from? Or you just hear me come and say, I need to quickly go pick the preacher. He's landed. His private jet has landed at this thing. We need to go bring him down. Everybody's waiting for the service. Now, who came with a private jet? Oh, and I tell you that, Pastor, please go and bring Reverend Kadigba. He's stranded in Suliabore. He's on the black bike in Suliabore. Can you help me bring him in? Okay, well, we'll talk about the salvation of the soul. That's the message that we'll talk about today. That's how the flesh functions. Am I correct? That's how the flesh functions. We all have that tendency. We have the tendency of judging people by what they drive, how they speak. Natural things. Amen. And then these things are very strange to me. Very strange to me. I'm just careful with the things I say. I would have given you some very personal examples, but I want to be more strict with the things I say. They are very strange to me. Very strange to me. People have the tendency of judging themselves by things. Do you know, as a church, when we moved here, some people think we have arrived. Some people think, Kai. God is with these people. God is with these people. And God has been with us since we're in Pastor Obi's room. Do you understand that? Now, is it a sign that God is with us? Yes, it is to some extent. But you can be here without God being with you. All you need to be here is money. Amen. If you have a sponsor, you do it. If you have a sponsor, you do it. You will build gigantic things and no angel will stop you. It will be built. And if you know how to bring Kenny Black and Godons, it will be filled. Bring Kenny back, bring Godons, wear a fine suit, speak good English. It will be filled. Am I correct? Do praise night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will be filled. And I think you must learn, and you also must learn, not to judge people. You must sharpen your discernment and not to judge people by what they have or what they don't have. Because spiritual warfare has nothing to do with carnal weapons. Amen. Has nothing to do with carnal weapons. Nothing to do with carnal weapons. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Hallelujah. So where are our weapons? Huh? Our weapons are mighty, and they are where? In God. So your capacity to dig deep into God will determine the weapons that you have in your disposal. Are you together with me? Your capacity to reach into God. God becomes our bank for weapons for warfare. God becomes our bank. Your capacity to reach in Him and gather substances and realities with which we shall war. Do you know that we can have a mighty church in this city that seats 5,000 people and the people are not yet reached? We can have a church of 10,000 members in a community. It doesn't mean the community is taking for Jesus. Huh? Because if you gather them with the wrong means and feed them with the wrong meal, it is still not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in numbers. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm talking about. You can have a 5,000, a 20,000 church in this city, and God is still weeping and saying that, when will I take the city? So the city is not taken by numbers. Numbers is not just, it's not the only way we can use to assess whether a city has been taken or not. I give you a very beautiful example all the time when I'm talking about this. There were thousands of people going for the Feast of Pentecost. Thousands of people in their thousands coming from all nations. And God was in the upper room with 120 people. And if you looked in the flesh and if you say, where is the move of God? You will point to Jerusalem where people were going to. But actually the room of God was in an abandoned room. And don't forget, that room was not a prayer room, so to speak. We tried to make it look like a prayer room. It was not a prayer room. It was a hiding room. It was what? Hiding room. It was not prayer room. Jesus had left them. He told them he was going to take over the kingdom. Everything he said, he did not do. When he resurrected, they had another chance to talk to him. They now asked him again, when shall you restore the kingdom back to Israel? He said, nobody knows the time. And they saw him, he left them again. Then the insults started. And so, the 120 hid themselves in the upper room, plus Mary, Jesus' mother. You see, because not everybody believed he had resurrected. The old nation knew he did not, felt he did not resurrect. Till today, the vast majority of the Jews are sure Jesus did not resurrect. Don't think that this resurrection of Jesus Christ is a common revelation. Which can resurrect? He did not resurrect. In fact, in Islam, there are some school of thought that believe he did not even die on the cross. That somebody stole his body on the cross, he did not die on the cross. And so everybody believes Jesus, but not everybody believes that he's resurrected. Hallelujah. And then 120 people were in the upper room, in an abandoned room. People were hiding. Listen, it was not a fight. It was not a group of the prayer. Oh, Lord, stop thinking that way. Because now, when we talk about upper room, for now, we talk about we want to pray. But then, don't forget, they were not filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not baptized in the Holy Ghost. So they couldn't have been praying like Pastor Tokwe was praying this morning. You know, if Pastor Tokwe didn't pray, you can't pray. Something is wrong with you. That's a prayer style. I need to learn it. The Father will give you praise. Lucky the ocean, Tobariata. You are the great God. Raka. She's going to mix the English and the tongues together. I say, I need to grow your prayers. I don't know how she does it. Maybe there are other parts. We need to ask for interpretation because we are missing some parts of the statement. She removes some parts in English. I just put tongues around. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So we see Jesus, we see the apostles praying there. And it was not some very powerful atmosphere. Let me give you an example. Have you been, I don't know if you have been robbed or you've heard that there are thieves close by in your area. Have you noticed that whenever such alarm rises, and you people can hear the gunshot, have you noticed the level of love and unity amongst your family? Everybody comes together. That's the meaning when it says that they were in one accord. They were in one accord. The harassment was much. They did not leave there. They were together, you see, because only them believed, because he had appeared to them. They were sure, they had become sure, but the people were not sure. So they were staying in one room. Anybody wants to, when they want to eat, somebody will rush and go and buy food, bring for everybody. It was like one accord that he said, we should stay here, the Holy Ghost will come. They were not saying, Holy Ghost, come, Holy Ghost, come. They were not on fire like that. They were just sympathizing and empathizing with themselves. It is well. And there are times in your life where Jesus will mess you up that way. He gives you a word, delays the fulfillment. And everybody is sure that you are wrong. And then it will take you in, you don't want to have faith. Not like you are trying to have faith. You even wish you can drop the word, but the word is so normal to you. Jesus told you, you know it. And then you wish you didn't even have the experience. Has ever happened to you? Where God, you are sure of what God told you, but it is wrong before everybody. And the next time somebody is trying to prophesy to you, just say, please, 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 please. And that was the condition they were in. They were sure, they saw him, he spoke to them, and he lifted, they went up. But they were still... So they stayed in the upper room. Then the Holy Ghost came. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that we cannot judge revival by just numbers. And Peter stepped out in the power of the Holy Ghost and brought a whole lot of people into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, it was when the Holy Ghost came into him that he had the machinery with which, or the weapons with which he was able to war in the spirit. So, in the world, we war with our flesh. In the spirit realm, our weapon of warfare is in God. So, you cannot judge a Christian by what he has, the external things he has. But if somebody is not a Christian, we judge the person by the external thing. Yeah. So we don't want any worldly person telling us that he wants to teach us the secret of success and he does not have money. In the world, that is not possible. Praise God. So even if you want to listen to motivational speakers, go and check what's in their bank account. He cannot tell us about the laws of success, and we have not yet seen the success in life. That's in the world. Amen. But in the spirit, the weapons of our warfare can never be carnal. They are mighty in God. So if you see Paul here in verse 1 and verse 2, the people were taking him for granted because in the flesh he was just looking so normal. And I believe this is the pattern. This is the pattern. But majority of the church, a lot of people at times frustrate this pattern. Do you know why many preachers have people you must speak to before you can invite them? It's not because, listen, it's not wrong, though. I'm not saying it's wrong. But you know, at times it's because relationships have been abused. When you can easily reach people, there have been a whole lot of abuse. I've heard strange stories. Strange stories. I've heard of preachers stranded in the city of the guest, the person that invited them, stranded. The person is not calling them. Nobody's coming to pick them. I've heard stories of the preacher and the minister looking for the hotel, up and down. I've heard strange things. And not in the village, in a supposed Christian community. So that's why you see some people have some, by the time you speak to about 3 PAs, you know the person you are bringing is great. If your sense cannot tell you that he's great, by just then they arrange fleshly apparatus. So you want to bring me, oh, my calendar is booked for about 8 years. But let's pray, there's nothing God cannot do. You went, 8 years. Hey, daddy, please now, daddy, please. Look for his place for us. Look for his space for us. Daddy, please. And that's why some preachers will never start a statement without telling you how they went to London, they went to California, they went. Because if they don't tell you, they are sure that they are on the honorarium. The honorarium. You know, some... You know some honorariums, and it's as though the intention for it is to release dishonor. Praise God. Now, what do I mean by this? I'm not even talking about the volume of money. Are you with me? May God help us in the name of Jesus. The church has gone through a lot. The church has gone through a lot, and it's our turn now.
I mean, we do it well.
May our instrumentalists be sponsors of the gospel. May we have instrumentalists that would sponsor the gospel. That is the order we are releasing. And then may we take joy in leaving our keyboard alone, just looking at everybody. If there's no instrumentalist to play, may the keyboard be left alone, releasing spiritual melodies, and the people connect with it in the spirit and dance like that. Do you know the trauma pastors are going through? I don't know how they got themselves there. Pastors shake.
Instrumentalist will say, "You need to increase my money."
The pastor will be shaking. "Please now, we are going to have a board meeting. We are going to talk about it. Please now." Is it not the pastor to just look at him and say, "Your father"?
Your father. For what you just said, your father.
But we're going to have instrumentalists that have power. I don't understand. Is this a club? Is it not a club? Is it a club again? I don't understand all these things. See, instrumentalists porting from one church to another church. Lives have been wrecked. Those young boys, their lives have been wrecked. Many instrumentalists don't even have a local assembly anymore. No local assembly. How will a Christian not have a local assembly? Porting from church to church. Because one pastor is responding to a congregation that he feels will go if they can dance. He's afraid that they will go if they can dance. But if they go because they can't dance, there'll be like two or three sons of God there. And then you will leave the keyboard, you put old hand, and you worship God, where two or three are gathered, his name is there in their midst. I feel the presence of God is more important than the presence of plenty of people. What do we want to do with plenty of people? What do plenty of people do? Amen. Do you understand this message I'm preaching? Talking about not judging according to the flesh. Not judging according to the flesh. If you judge according to the flesh, are you together with me? Are you with me? If you judge according to the flesh, you cannot walk with God. How many of you know that God is not in the flesh? Have you ever thought about it? That your God is not in the flesh, and it cannot be in the flesh. So anytime you flow in the flesh, God is not there. Just think that. God is not in the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. Immediately a musician comes, picks up the mic, and flows in the flesh, God is not there. Is not in the flesh. You cannot walk with God if you are in the flesh. If your judgments come from the flesh. Whenever I meet people, especially maybe a young man, a young woman that is trying to find direction for his or her life, I ask basic normal questions. What did you study? What's your local assembly? You have a good local assembly. I try to check your walk with God. How is it? Whether you have a nice one or you have the potentials of having a nice one. The only potential is Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost. What did you study? You have what you studied. What you came out with is inconsequential. With all that you have, are you doing everything you can do to improve yourself? I mean natural life. Are you doing everything you can do to improve yourself? Are you sending out, if it's a job you're looking for, are you sending out your CVs to the right places? Are you talking to the right people? Is it a vocation? Are you learning? Are you trying your best? At the best that you can. If I get a yes for all these answers, and are things working, like, are you getting results for it? If the answer is no, there's no more advice to give you. In a matter of time, things will change. Do you understand this? Whenever you are doing the right things and things are not working, don't stress yourself. Don't go in the flesh. Stay in the spirit. Enjoy your God. Enjoy the season. It will soon be over. And like I always say, it will be a shame for it to be over. And when it is over, you find out that you did not believe God in the process. There is nothing as shameful as that. Where you doubted God, then God now did it. It's very shameful. So are you doing the right things? Are you born again? You have Holy Ghost. You have a good local assembly. Did you go to university or you did not go? You don't have to go. Not everybody will go. Did you graduate or you did not graduate? Some people will not graduate. Did you, whatever happened, whatever the circumstance, but where you are now, are you doing the best that you can do? If the answer is yes, then it's just a matter of time. The things will change. But listen, if you go and walk in the flesh, if you walk in the flesh, allow anxiety to eat you up and make wrong decisions, you will turn a 40 days journey to a 40 years journey. I tell people God is the shortcut. Every other shortcut will take you to a destination that does not exist. And then after a while, you start looking for the decision again. There is no shortcut anywhere. Because where God is taking you to is not just a place. Hear this, what I'm about to say. It's not just a place. Where even the journey, God is even taking, the journey is also a place. The journey and the ending is a place. So it's not about ending, it's about journeying. In fact, the journey is more important to God than the end. In means and end, God would always choose means. Because end, your son can enjoy the end. When you die, your son will come and enjoy the end. Bible says they walked with God by faith, and by faith, some of them did not receive the promise. And we came to receive the promise so that we can all be perfected together. It's the means. Are you together with me? So you cannot afford to stay in the flesh. You cannot afford to judge in the flesh. You cannot afford to look at your friend and make judgment about your life. It's very stupid. Look at that friend you are using to compare with you. He is tall, you are short. He is fair, you are black. He is Igbo, you are Yoruba. Why do you want your life to be the same? Can't you see that even naturally, people are different? So experience will definitely be different. Are you together with me? So we don't judge in the flesh. Our weapon is where? Is in God. For we walk in the flesh. So even though we walk in the flesh, we do what everybody is doing. We are engaged in normal life engagement. But our judgment of ourselves is not in this stuff. When Lot and Abraham were going to share the land because of strife, Abraham said, are you together with me? Abraham said, it is not good for your people and my people to be in strife. Huh? So peace is a weapon of warfare. Huh? So Abraham brought, there was warfare. The warfare in Abraham's eyes is that we need to take away strife out of this. And the instrument it brought was peace and contentment. That is mighty in God. For Lot, the warfare is good land and bad land. That is being in what? In the flesh. For Abraham, the warfare is what? This is strife. Let's kill it. Lot did not know that was warfare already. For Lot, the warfare is good land and bad land. For Abraham, the warfare is what? Let's take our strife. And he invoked peace and contentment. And he brought it to Lot. Lot did not know what was happening in the realms of the spirit. He entered into the warfare as a casualty. Because where he was thinking the issue is green land and bad land, the issue was greed and strife. Ah, I just hope somebody is hearing me. That in the realms of the spirit, the enemy was about to sow a template of greed and strife. And Abraham saw that. And Abraham engaged warfare. Are you with me? Where some people are thinking that the problem of the church, of their church, is that they don't have numbers. At times, the real problem is that there is greed in the hearts. And instead of them to deal with the greed, they are going out on evangelism. And so Abraham called Lot and said, "We are brothers, we should not be fighting." Wanted to deal with it. I said, "Pick anyone you want." And Lot was happy that guy. I had a prophecy 3 years ago that I was going to be blessed beyond my imagination. Today is the fulfillment of that prophecy. I said, he lifted up his eyes. And he looked at the land that were luscious and green. And I said, "I take that one." Abraham said, "Congrats." You know what he took? Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, "Congrats." Carried his destiny to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said, they vexed his righteous soul. He went, that his account was full, bank account, but his soul was vexed. The enemy gave him money. He received money for vexation. By night, God came to Abraham and said, "Lift up your eyes." Now it's not flesh, it's God. But I said, "Abraham, it's time for you to lift up your eyes. As far as your eyes can see, I've given you everything." Spirit man. The vexed soul. I usually preach this. That it was Saul's heart was a seed for even the wickedness that prospered in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because if you notice, this same family, his wife, When they told them to leave that place, to leave that city, this same issue that they are meant to have dealt with, by the time things were burning, the wife still looked back. She still looked back. Maybe because of her jewelry. It's not a pillar of salt. And they told Lot, "Go to this city." He did not go there. That's another story for another day. But he vexed his righteous soul. Why? He was speaking. He did not understand the warfare. Man and woman, do you understand the warfare going on now over your life? Can you interpret your issues? Can you interpret your issues beyond what man can see? Are you sure it's an issue of joblessness? Is it that there is no job or God needs your time for now? You need to be very sure. Because if you just take it as there's no job, God is not giving me job, you can enter into frustration. And you engage in warfare. You enter into the trap of the enemy. Glory to Jesus. Give me 4 and 5 together. So we see here that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty in God. And what do we do in warfare majorly? We pull down strongholds. We cast down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I told you, I started by telling you that warfare is not issue-based. That the foundation of warfare is not issue-based. The foundation of warfare It's not first of all issue based. The warfare you are engaging, it's not just lack money, whether there's money or whether there's no money, whether there's job, whether there's no job, whether you are the first to graduate in your family or you are not the first, whether those warfares exist. And let us Lagos Christians not think that people that engage those warfare are stupid. If you go to where, to places, they are real warfare. They exist. But I'm telling you that is not the foundation of warfare. The foundation of warfare is between light and darkness. It's about perspective. It's about knowledge. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of Satan. That is to say, you can win a battle and lose the war. Do you understand that? The issue-based warfare are just the battles that the war is bringing to you. And so don't win battles and lose war. Huh? Don't what? Don't win a battle and what? And lose the war. Many of us engage our life based on just issues. If you win the issue and lose the principle, you have won the battle, but you are losing the warfare. This is a very important message. You have won the battle, but what are you losing? You are losing the warfare. So God wants us to have victory and win the warfare so that every stronghold. Now, the strongholds, arguments, and knowledge that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, they are also the external effect of it is that they can bring issue-based battles. Amen. Are you together with me? Issue-based battle. So an issue will rise. The foundation of this issue is this. But if you can pray in the name of Jesus, the issue can go. But if the issue goes, and you have not pulled down the knowledge that produced the issue will come and go. You will continually be fighting battles. So you see, warfare is more strategic. Battles should be once in a while. It can't be when you're having battles every time, because mature nations have consistent warfare, but periodic battles. You know, Russia and US, warfare is going on. They can still greet themselves, they can still smile, they can still visit themselves. But there's a warfare. Once in a while, they release tension of battles. Because they start battling, both America and Russia. Because everybody is even afraid of battle. The cost of battle itself is not easy. You know, anytime I'm talking about battle, I just remember Wole Agba, when his favorite line, Shogun la yeni. You can't keep fighting. You can't keep declaring, drive fast. Every edict, drive fast. Every mosquito web that climbs your egg, drive fast. Praise God. Every rain that beats you while growing up, drive fast. Everything. Even when there's traffic, you feel it's a sign that demons are slowing down your destiny. Drive fast. Amen. You can't keep fasting and fasting. You will not, it will affect even your face. You will not look victorious. Have you met people that they have lost their joy? They are called prayer warriors. But you can see obviously that these ones don't have joy. I don't have them as friends. They look spiritual, but that's not spirituality. When you just meet them like this, you will know that there's trouble. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that I know is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. People that keep lamenting, that cry, look sad, always sad in the spirit. It's not true. Because why do they eat in rage? Why do the people imagine the venture? He that sits in heaven shall laugh. That is consistent battles. I preached a message in my teenage years. I said, you lost because you fought. Not every dream has meaning. But you need to understand warfare for you to discern. Not every dream has meaning. And some dreams that look simple,
The one that cow is chasing you with cutlass, you think that one is powerful. There are some very high power dreams. Amen. When you are just sleeping on the bed all night in a dream, you just slept. You're just sleeping away your destiny. Some dreams will look simple, but if you can interpret them, it's battle. And some will look very powerful, and the dream in itself is not an existing reality. The reason for the dream is to release warfare. The dream is not the warfare. The dream has come to give you a wrong interpretation that can now be the warfare. Are you together with me? The dream in itself is not the warfare. It is the fear it will produce that is the warfare. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know that when Prophet Richard passed on, it's taking some of us a lot not to be afraid of traveling. Now the warfare has begun. It's not just Prophet Richard's taking that is the warfare. The spirit of fear is released now. The day I was traveling, the day before I was traveling, I went to meet Sheikh. I said, am I meant to travel? You better tell me now. Not that in my memorial service, you'll now be saying, and you saw a vision, and you saw this thing. Tell me now, am I meant to go? He said, which car are you going with? I said, I didn't tell you not to go. I didn't tell you I should not go with my car. Tell me now. And I told my driver, don't pass 120. Don't pass 120. Let's go gently. Don't pass. 120 is much. I said traveling. Am I going to Ogba? I said I'm traveling. 80 traveling. Am I going to London? I said, don't pass 120. Very careful. And even with my carefulness, I still lost two of my tires. Just exploded. Are you with me? Are you with me? May God raise your discernment. May God upgrade your discernment. I say God will upgrade your discernment. May you not be sorrow in your seasons of joy. Because Satan likes to change it for us. Where you are meant to be joyful, you are sorrowful. I've counseled many people. I've counseled people that they are in one of the best seasons of their life and they are crying. Because Satan has released a lie and they are engaging in the flesh. That is why hearing from God is a prerequisite for living. Hearing from God is a prerequisite for living. Hearing from God. And listen, you cannot hear from God except you can feel God. I'm going to explain that. You need to learn to feel God. That is to say, hearing from God must first be normal. That's what I mean by feel. Must first be normal before it becomes spectacular. And the way you can make hearing from God normal is to be grounded in the Word. Amen. The Word releases, are you together with me? The Word releases His voice. Now, the voice of the Lord will not always come by, Deji, go and do, and it will give you full dose of spoken down statements. Now, God speaks that way. But much of when we say God said, is that we pick His voice. Let me explain it. We pick the information and then we interpret the information with our own language and our own spiritual understanding. Do you understand? What we do majorly is that because God has His language, He does not speak English. He does not speak Yoruba. He just releases the message and then we get an interpretation. And that's why God can say one thing and two people can
relay it in different ways based on their growth and their maturity. So if you pick a message that some men of God are going to die, there are different interpretations you can give to it. You can say, God is going to kill popular servants in this nation. And I can say, there is a taking away happening. There is a translation happening. There is an upgrade. There is a movement happening. Some are moving the realms of the earth and going to the other side. You know, we have said the same thing. But we have released different spirits depending on how you are able to interpret. I don't know if you are hearing this. So it's a prerequisite for you to hear God's voice. And the way you will know his voice, I told you he might not speak, he will not always speak line like that. But he will release his voice. And one of the ways you can learn his voice is by being grounded in the scripture. Why? Because the voice of the scripture is the same voice of the spirit. The voice of the scripture is the same voice of the spirit. So the more you hear the voice of the scripture, you are able to hear the voice of the spirit. That is why those that don't know the scripture are usually prone to error. That's the error of some movements, where they hear voice without knowing word. I don't know if you're together with me. It's a prerequisite. So that when you are going through whatever battle you are going through, your heart can pick it from the revelation of scripture. Okay, for example, I was talking to you about a case of deliverance. Because of the knowledge of God's word, I knew that deliverance must not be by agidi. That alone has put me in a place, some levels of victory, to engage accurately. Amen. Amen. So his voice is a prerequisite. His voice is a prerequisite. His voice is a prerequisite. To interpreting your seasons. Some of you should be able to write your season. You must have it written down. The season you are in. And don't allow Satan or an existing battle tell you the season you are in. You cannot judge your seasons by your present physical experience. Many times, your present physical experience and your seasons are two different things. You remember the story of Gideon? Gideon was in a season of hiding. But when the angel appeared to him, what did the angel call him? Oh, mighty man of valor with an experience of hiding. Now, when you are hiding, then you are a fearful person. Am I not correct with you? So, you could have been dealing with fear at that time. I was ministering to someone over the week. And I wouldn't go into details, I'm sorry. Please, just try and learn what I want to say. And when I was laying my hands on the person to pray for the person, it was a serious issue. Supposedly serious issue, so to speak. I was praying for the person, and the Lord told me that this person has to walk away from this issue because the issue does not exist. And she thought I was going to maybe cast out a demon or something. But there was no demon. Then I began to think that if this particular person is not trained on how to walk away, how can you have an issue that no anointing can break? No greater man of God can deal with it. You just have to walk away. Then she now told me a particular dream she had. In fact, it was because of that dream she came to talk to me about the issue. She had been having the issue for a long time. She saw me in a dream, and because of that dream she came to me. In that dream, she has a baby that she was meant to take care of. And somehow, due to her negligence, the baby died. And so she went to a place where I was preaching. And then she wanted to go and bury the baby. But somehow she saw another baby, but that by her side, but that baby was a strange looking baby. She wanted to go bury the baby. And so while she was going to go bury the baby, she found out the baby did not die. The baby was actually alive and living. And this was exactly what she was going through. Because of some of the experiences she had in her life, the enemy has brought a strange life, a strange thought to her life. And she wants to end that which is real and which is genuine. And God is saying to her, nobody's going to lay hands and say that thing which is dead to rise, because it's not dead, it's alive. And she needs to just walk away. And so I took some little time to counsel and to speak to her, and we'll keep speaking until she walks away. So you cannot judge your life only by your experience. Your experiences are not enough. So Gideon was in fear, in hiding. But in the spirit, Gideon is the leader of the army that God was going to use to bring deliverance to the nation Israel. Hallelujah. So we cannot judge our lives by our experience. Worst of all, by other people's experience. That's the worst of it all. When you judge your life by another man's experience, you need to know that you have come to fulfill the book that is written concerning you. Paul says, though that compare themselves with themselves are fools. If I had a board here, I would write age on it. Age is the number of the flesh. Huh? Are you together with me? What is your true age? Your true age is in the book of Jeremiah. Before I knew you, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew thee and I ordained you a prophet. You must calculate your age from that place if you really want to know how old you are. If you do not know the day God started to think about you, you don't know your age. So you are not too young to marry, neither are you too old to be unmarried. Eh? You're ashamed of yourself. That's a lighter way. We need to deal with the flesh, don't you think so? Don't you think so? You're not too young to marry. You're not too old to be unmarried. But God makes sure that everything he does, it is beautiful in his own time. Amen. What we just need to be sure is that we are in the will and we are doing all. I tell you, when you have done all the things you need to do, the next thing to do is to be in joy. Listen, if you have done everything you need to do, what else would you do? Joy. I see people looking for what to do when they have done everything. People like to feel bad. They just want to feel bad. They just like to tell themselves that if they can make themselves terrible, they feel happy. If they can be the reason, everybody wants a reason. Ha! You would never always have a reason. Because the variables that come together to give reasons are too much. Your brain cannot take in all the variables. And so your math is faulty. Why did this person go? The variables are too much. The things you are going to add to get to the solution, there are too much. Your mind cannot take it. Even if you live 900 years on earth, you will still be learning all the variables that add up to better reality.
So some things we will know in heaven. Amen. So, the flesh must be judged. You cannot judge your life by your age. You can only judge your life by His will. And when I mean will, I don't mean that lethargic position you stay and say whether it's God's will or not. No. But I mean will. I mean when you are engaging the revealed information, what He has revealed to you, you are engaging it. God must find you doing what He has called you to do. Not whining on what you think you should be doing. What has God called you to do? Let Him find you doing it with all of your heart. And listen, some of the things you are called to do is even nothing physical. Some of you are called, what you are called to do is to have a position in your heart. You know, to develop a mental position or a heart position is a work. It's a work. Oh, bayadika. It's a work. A mental position is a work. And listen, if you don't get your position, if you don't get your position well enough, God can answer your prayers, but you will not be His man. He wants you to be His man. He wants you to be His woman. And the way you are going to be God's man and God's woman is when you grow your capacity to think like Him. The warfare is thoughts. The warfare is light and darkness. The warfare is perspective. The warfare is not issue-based. It's not issue-based. There are issue-based warfare, but the foundation of all warfare is perspective. If you win on an issue, but if you miss the perspective, you have failed. I taught you severally about when Jesus fed them. 5,000 people were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And then you would have thought that the warfare at that time was lack of food. No, the warfare at that time was lack of trust in Jesus. That was the warfare. The warfare was not lack of food. Because if you check 2 chapters after, He told them, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. And the disciples reasoned amongst themselves. That's the warfare. And they said, it is because we did not bring bread. And now there's no bread for us to eat. And he said, what's wrong with you guys? Twice I have multiplied bread before you. Don't you know and don't you understand? So the 2 times where he gave them bread, he was not solving the problem of lack of food. He was solving the problem of lack of trust. So if you are praying to God to give you food or to solve a problem, if the problem is solved, you have not won. You win when your thinking changes. When you lose your right to doubt, you have won. Are we on the same page? Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? Give me Gideon. But we'll round off with our Corinthian story. Deji, can you stand up, please? You know what I'm sure of? I'm sure of one thing, that if we engage God in this way, we're going to get to seasons in our lives where the battles that come our way will be like meat pie for us. I'm telling you. Because a stature has been raised. A stature.
battles will be like meat pie. You would even wonder, why did they even bring this battle? The devil should look for other battles for me. I'm telling you. You will see battles. The battles that made you weep before. That made you shout before. You will know how to deal with it. You have stability. Some of you, you get to a point where money becomes your slave. I'm telling you. You know how to command billions. Brothers and sisters, money is a spiritual. No matter how much you criticize Oyedepo, we'll keep making it. Those of you that criticize him will not make it. I know what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not just speaking anyhow. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. You think it's just you can't be a billionaire. You can't be a billionaire through tithe and offering. Go and do the mass. And subtract it from add it up with all the pastors and all the works that need to be done in that ministry. And if it is true tithe, you too try and gather people and gather it to that point where you can get them to pay tithe that will make you a billionaire. Try it and see how it will work. Get that capacity to get millions to pay tithe to you to be that wealthy. Don't be carnal. It's internal breakthrough. I know what I'm saying. I got to a point in my life where I see God telling me to reach out for stuff with my spirit. He says, touch it, Zach. Touch it. Get it. He says, you can get it. Touch it. I'm not lying to you. I'm not doing you, Fabu. Touch it, Zach. You can touch it. This life, na spirit. You can touch it with your spirit. You will touch it and you will get it and you will wait. And it will come. Angels will bring it. Some of you, as you begin to grow in the Lord and receive spiritual thinking. Spiritual thinking is spiritual power. God's power is not an addition to God's person. His person is power. Hey, let me say it this way. For God, compassion and healing is the same thing. His compassion heals. Where you are looking for healing anointing, God is taking you through a journey of compassion. So that you now find out that in his realm, healing is normal. That in his realm, if the compassion is the Lord's compassion, it will bring healing. Are you with me? That the behavior of God is also the same as the power of God. If you can behave like him, you will do the things he does. That behavior, God's behavior, does not need power to back it up. So God does not have healing power, money for power, power for this. God does not have that. Now, he can release that as an anointing upon you. But don't forget that all the gifts of the Spirit are teachers of the person of Christ. They are pointers to a person. He released them as gifts so that we can know him. That's why you can flow in all the gifts of the Spirit without having the gifts of the Spirit. The people that will work in healing are not only those that have the gift of healing. You can produce healing by just being a believer because you have the nature. Are you together with me? Do you know even the five offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teachers, the Bible says that it was when he, the same that descended, was the same that ascended. And when he ascended, he gave gifts to men and to some. All those offices are segment, is his nature that is divided. He divides his nature into men. He is an apostle. He is a prophet. Or better put, there is apostle in him, apostolic is in him, prophetic is in him, evangelist is in him, teacher is in him, and pastor is in him. He's the apostle of our conversion, of our profession. He's the prophet that Moses said God will raise a prophet that is greater than him. Praise God. He's the one, he's the evangelist that has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us. He's our rabbi. And he's the good shepherd of our souls. Are you with me? He is all of that. So, Gabs, as you begin to change mindset, this go away from flesh and enter into in God weapons. You get what I'm talking about? As that begins to happen, a stature is being raised, and this man becomes a man that will always flow in victory. Hallelujah. You can have your seat. Give me a few minutes, I'll round off. Are we blessed? I've seen Christians having too many problems. I don't like it. It's flesh. A Christian having too many problems is flesh. A Christian having seven important prayer points, seven things God must do under pressure is flesh. It's not true. What happened? How can there be seven things that you are under pressure? If you are going to be under pressure anytime in your life, maybe for only one or two, and that pressure must not last. He should tell you, is it not God? Won't he tell you something? And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. Wow. And sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash and Abizrite. You know, I sense that God is releasing us the spirit of understanding over this house right now. You know, I just speak that the scripture will come alive. Yes, I just sense that now. I just sense that. I just saw that now. The scripture will come alive in a more powerful force. Come alive. You will be that spiritual man. I'm not preaching perfection. You know I'm not perfect. All of you know I'm not. With the stories I've told you, if I'm you, I will not even be in this church again. Because this pastor is not perfect. You know that. But you can be the spiritual man. Like David. You know, David is a spiritual man. Yeah. Alive in God. I love this Jesus. During the week, I was ministering to someone. And I called the person out. And I kept ministering to the person. And then the person was just crying. I didn't know why. I was just prophesying. The person kept wailing and wailing and wailing and wailing. So, the last morning of the meeting, we gave question and answer. And this person said, I didn't even know that she wanted to ask a question. And then when it was her turn to ask, and she was like, what was that? She's the kind of person that she's not religious. She doesn't really take God too seriously. But somehow someone invited her to the meeting and she came that night. And when she came, that she just saw people speaking in tongues and screaming and shouting. Because there was a serious infilling of the Holy Spirit. And she said she got to the point where she was angry. That was all this noise about. What happened? Why are they shouting? Because it was that time I called her. And while she was shouting, because when she started speaking, I remembered the scene, because a lot of things happened. So I remembered the scene. I called her because I saw the hand of the Lord upon her. Now when I say I saw the hand of the Lord, it's not five hands that God now put on her like this. But what I saw, the only expression for it is that I saw the hand of the Lord upon her. Spiritual language.
Do you understand that spiritual language? So I set the hand of the Lord upon her. So I told her to come, and they brought her to my front, and I began to prophesy over her, and she was wailing and wailing and wailing, like really wailing. So she was saying that she just kept wailing, and she was just wailing. She said then, what she had been abusing during the service, she saw her stomach bubbling, and some things started to come out of her mouth. She said she held on. And throughout the service, she said she held on. She said the question she was asked, will she speak that thing? She said, must she speak it? And that she doesn't really, she's not a religious person. She doesn't really, that when people take God seriously, she's wondering, she said, but what happened yesterday that, so will she now be? And so I was really glad. You know, I was just in love with God again, that God, wow. See God changing somebody's life. So we answered that question, and then I told her that, so about speaking in tongues, I told her that when people are in love, when it gets to some realm of love, you know, there's a way they can communicate without everybody knowing. They can communicate in public, and not everybody will know what they are saying. Amen. When they are in love. You know, when we need to leave church, when I'm staying in church too much, there's a way my wife makes me know, and I know, you know, and everybody might not know. And she has not said much words, but I just know. There's a way I go and greet her or something, and then when the greeting ends quickly. But when people are in love, they can communicate without speaking. So I told her tongues, one of the benefits of praying in tongues, that it's a language that Satan does not understand. It's between you and the one that you love. You know? And then, so I told, we wanted to pray for her again. Not to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we just wanted to pray for her again. And so I brought her how to pray with her. And while I was praying with her, I just could sense the love of God over her. And I knew that one of the things she'd be doing for Jesus is to reveal his love. I remember one lady while I was a teenager, she had that kind of anointing. You would just know God loves humanity when you see her. She expresses his love. And then God now told me to ask for her name. Because I was just ministering love to her. Like you'll be a minister of love, and she was just crying. I just saw love. And then her name was Oluwanifemi. Now that particular lady, it's possible she had been going through stuffs. And you know, that particular lady can have an issue of whether she might feel unloved. Do you know that? Events could have happened that can make her feel unloved. Whereas in the spirit, she's the daughter of his love. So we must train ourselves to hear what God is saying about us. And we must also train ourselves to administer to people what God is saying about them. Do you understand this? That's so when we relate to people, we don't relate with them based on where they are. We relate to them based on what we perceive that God has said concerning them. And this is how God relates to us. He doesn't relate to us based on where we are. He relates to us based on where he perceives and he believes we should be. Let's just read these two scriptures, and then we'll take some time to just give it all to God and love on him, and then we'll be able to go home. There is an increase in your dose of discernment. Your discernment is getting sharper and brighter.
You will feel for God. You will feel as God. You will feel what God feels. With your heart, with your spirit, man, your discernment. First of all, you begin to come into discernment of your own person in Him. That is the first one. That is the most important one. You will see yourself the way He sees you. Watchmani was given the name. The name Watchmani, the Chinese version of it was the bell ringer, which is the same thing as watchman. That was what his mother gave him. They gave him bell ringer. It was his mom that actually gave him watchman. That's the meaning of how do you give your child bell ringer? That was the name his mother gave him because she perceived he was a proper child. Amen. May you not look for the name that sounds. Because people look for the internet, they'll be schooling for a fine name. It's a squirrel, or we'll just look for a fine name and give. Just look for a name that sounds nice, that can match the color of his trouser. Amen. But may the Lord raise our discernment. You know, I perceive that there is a lot of impartations going on this morning. I'm serious. There is a glory in the house. This is a different service. I'm sensing an activity of the Holy Ghost bringing impartations. Glory to Jesus. Glory to the Messiah. Glory to our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bishop of our souls. The Bishop of our souls. The one who is training us. We also thank Him for the Holy Spirit that explains the truth to us. Wow. You know, during the week, I was after one of the night sessions. It was such a glorious session, and we had to end the meeting. And I'm actually looking for something. And while we're going back, we went to drop somebody in a house. That's Pastor Yomi's fiancée. So in one of those nights, when I went to drop Pastor Yomi's fiancée, when I was coming back, two of our tires suddenly, you know, went out, and was really bad. All the wheels were out. We couldn't drive it. We had to park. It was close to the hotel, but we still had to park. And so, but we're very tired. It was around 11:30, 12 a.m. thereabout. And we're tired from a stretch, long meeting. And with a whole lot of laying on of hands and deliverance and all of that. So it was a bit, we're really tired and we're not eating. So I packed the car and then we went to the hotel. So early in the morning, the morning session starts 5:30 a.m. And then we just, you know, so we had to rush down for the morning session. So after the morning session, we came back to the scene. And then the side glass of my car had been broken, and they went into the car. In fact, I was called while I was coming back that my car had been, is it boggled now? And so they took the battery and took some other things. They took K-Spirit's guitar. And funny enough, that night, he did much of the ministering. It was awesome, you know. I'd never seen him play that way before. You know, after we sang for about 2 hours, there are times where he would just be playing, you know, and everybody would be, it was so awesome. And so they took his guitar and took some stuff, and so we got there. But, you know, immediately I was told that my car had been boggled, somehow the immediate response I had was joy. I mean, it was so immediate. And I just began to laugh. Not the fake laugh. The fake laughter too is good. Yes, it's good. But when you laugh by faith, then very soon your spirit body will respond. You understand? Amen. So don't be afraid to laugh fake laughter. You understand? You will get there. Relax, you're not serious. Amen. And it's also not terrible to cry when something, you know, if you want to cry, but make sure you don't cry for long. You understand? And so when we got there, I just felt joy and peace. Of course, I knew it was the enemy that did it because of maybe some of the things that had happened, you know. And it could have been worse. They could have taken my brain box or some other stuff in the car. But just took the battery and everything. So we didn't know Kay's guitar had not been taken. He thought it was just the battery and other things in the car. So when he opened the boot, and he saw his guitar and left. He now knew that when he saw that they had taken some of the things in the car, he felt bad for me. I was feeling joy. He said, when he now saw his own guitar be taken, he said, his own joy just started. And that's a good lesson. You don't feel joy for other persons. Let the person feel his joy. So when something terrible happens to somebody and the person is feeling joy, don't tell the person, I feel joy too. You feel, you mourn with those that mourn. Amen. So after we fixed some of the things, I went to get some stuff. So he called me. And I said, Zach, so that your joy might be full, I want you to know that all the blazers also was in the car. They have taken all the blazers. So this yesterday night, I also called you when I got to the house. I said, okay, our joy is not yet full. The laptop too was taken. So that your joy... Because we didn't know all the things that were taken. We were just finding out small, small. Amen. So you have to learn to be in God. That's where your weapon is. Your weapon is not in the flesh. Let's run. So there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. Can you start from... Is that where Gideon... Okay, that's okay. That pertained unto Joash, the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat. Where? By the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. Was hiding. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you. That's why you need to learn to be in spiritual atmospheres. It is in spiritual atmospheres that you can get the impartation of God's voice. Did you hear that? You need to be in spiritual... Listen. When you feel this negative and these demonic feelings, at times it's because you have been away from His presence for too long. And you are getting used to it. You are training your soul. You're training your soul to feel like hell. Are you together with me? You are training your soul to feel like what? To feel like hell. You must learn to be in His presence personally and corporately. The presence of the Lord in prayers, the presence you get in prayers, it's not always... I want to explain something, so that's why I'm making this statement. It's not always automatic because you prayed. Why am I saying that? If you don't take your heart to His presence, you can pray without being in His presence. I've seen many frustrated people pray and come out frustrated. The reason is because they just went to bombard God with their problems. That's not prayer. Prayer is not bombarding God with your problems and thinking that the more tenacity you put in discussing this challenge, the more tenacity, the more God will hear you. The more you cry out to Him. It's not always so. But there is a way that I've taught you before in the book of Philippians, that be careful for nothing. Paul was going to teach about prayers to the Philippian guys, and the first thing he said is what? Be anxious for nothing. So the first thing we do in prayer is to drown away our fears. Are you together with me? You drown away your fears and open yourself to the Lord. That's why prayer can be done every time. Prayer should be done every time. I say a lot of people don't know how to pray always. I see a whole lot of people that don't know how to pray always. That's why a whole lot of people, don't even know how to repent except they are praying. I mean, when they enter the room to pray. Actually, you should be praying. You should be a praying person. So that when you are even engaging someone, you are speaking to God and God is speaking to you. Prayer should be always. If you pray always, you are able to shut down the energy of the life of the flesh. If you don't pray always, you will be carnal when you are normal and spiritual when you are in the spirit. You get it? Spiritual in church, carnal at home. Rude to your mom, respectful to your pastor. Do you understand that? Because in church, it's a spiritual atmosphere. You know how to honor your pastor. At home, you engage the flesh because you are not talking to God. Every time you should be talking to God. So that when you are talking to men, it is coming from your conversation with God. Amen. We are not allowed to talk to men as men. We are meant to talk to men from talking to God. It's an extension of our talking to God. Many Christians I see don't have it. They have long hours of prayers in the room, but they don't pray when they are not in their room. So when you get them angry, they get angry. When you get them angry, they get angry. When you punch them, they punch you back. When you do them bad, they do you bad again. Then when they are in the presence, they will repent. So your communication with God should be the measurement, should be the parameter that measures how you engage with men. Your communication with God. Every time. You need to learn to pray every time. Speaking in tongues, meditation, awareness of His presence. Awareness of His presence. Asking yourself, what would Jesus do if He's in this situation? What would Jesus do? Asking yourself, don't be yourself. Be like Jesus. Don't be free. No, I want to be free. Don't be free. Be like Jesus. That's your freedom. When we look at him and we see him as he is, the Bible says that then we have liberty. Your liberty is in seeing him. So don't be free. Don't give anybody a piece of your mind. We have the mind of Christ. Does not make you bold. I give him a piece of my mind. Make sure that mind you are giving him is a piece of God's mind. Huh? Is a piece of whose mind? God's mind, not your mind. Doesn't make you bold. Doesn't make you brave. It makes the world brave, not the child of God. The Bible says that He has sent us as sheep amongst wolves. Glory to Jesus. Let's finish. It's a strange service today. Very strange one. And I'm happy that most of you came early. It's very encouraging that most of you came early. So the Lord is with you, and you are mighty, a mighty man of valor, all right? And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then?" Can you see why? Can you see why we shut ourselves down? We judge ourselves by what? By circumstances. Circumstances is not the true definition of what you are going through. Hey, what did I say? You are going through your circumstance, but that's not what you are going through. You are still going through something else. And in the case of Gideon, what is he going through? He's going through the Lord is with him. All right, give me the Corinthians and let's round off this teaching. So it will take time. It will take time for these strongholds to be shut down. Are you with me? It will take time. It will take practice. You keep practicing. You keep inviting the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. You keep practicing it. But so far, you are in the journey and in the process. That's beautiful. But you keep practicing it. One day, you would get to find out that some thinking patterns have been expunged out of your life. Amen. Some thinking patterns have what? Expunged out of life. And listen, guys. What? Thoughts. Thoughts have fragrance. Thoughts have fragrance. If you don't have the thoughts of Christ, you will not accurately release the fragrance of Christ. Thoughts have fragrance. If we're going to preach this Jesus more, we must release his fragrance the more. And if we're going to release his fragrance the more, we must allow him break us and put his thoughts in our mind. And he will do that. Listen, this is why the Holy Ghost is there. The Holy Ghost is to construct the thought of truth in your heart. He's the one in charge of this warfare, and he's going to win for us. You know there are some Christian guys that when they go out for lunch or dinner, even worldly people and Christians, you know, some people like to hide their money. You know, some people never have money. Have you noticed some people like that? They never have money. Now, nobody in this church is like that. But let's just think outside this church. Some people never have money. You know, it's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And Jesus will deal with it. The Holy Ghost will deal with it. Because it is affecting your evangelism. You can't be talking about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the fragrance you are releasing is that you so love your brother, you cannot buy them Fanta. They are contradicting, the message contradicts your fragrance. Huh? What's happening? The fragrance rather contradicts the message. The fragrance you release. The fragrance you release is the vehicle through which your message will move. When you see a preacher or a Christian that whenever he's engaging the world or people, the presence of Christ is made manifest. When you see such a person, don't try and repeat what he is saying. What is bringing that glory is not what he said. There is a fragrance he is releasing because of the condition of his heart. It's not words that carry glory. Glory rests on hearts, not words. So if you think that by repeating what a great man of God said, you will create a powerful atmosphere, you are deceiving yourself. You can call Jehovah mighty names, and it will not be mighty in the midst of the people. You can call him the Hebrew name. You can say Jehovah is Zadok, Rakok, Makik, Marak. You can say whatever you want to say about him. If the heart is not changed, the glory will not come. Are you together with me? So we must not be parrots. A parrot is not making sense. A parrot is not leading the house. A parrot is not giving direction. Nobody respects the parrot, even though the parrot can make a statement successfully, but that statement does not attract movement. If the parrot says, everybody get out of this house, nobody gets out of the house. If the parrot says, you are stupid, nobody is angry for the parrot saying that. The parrot can make a statement, but the statement does not have force. Because the parrot is not speaking from his heart. The parrot does not know what he's saying. So when love is formed in your heart and you have gone to the school of love, when you say God is love, it's not parroting love. God is love happens to the atmosphere. When you say God is kind, if God has taken you through kindness and you have responded to kindness, kindness happens to the people. Are you together with me? So we become parrots if we don't change our thoughts. We become parrots if we don't allow the Holy Ghost to break us. So worship is not the sagacity of the voice or the skill behind the voice. It is the heart that releases the fragrance. So the greatest preachers amongst us here will not be those that can speak better than Zach. It's those that can live better than Zach. And so what you should covet is not just speaking. What you should covet is life. And even if you are a stammerer, God can still choose you to take Israel from Egypt to the promised land. So ability to speak is not it. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for putting down strong, we're casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to what? When would that happen? Can you see that? When God is able to change you from within, then you have capacity to punish all disobedience. I have a thought concerning your life. And the way I'm looking at you, I think that, and I believe, that you are that example the world is waiting for. I think it's because of you that the whole earth is groaning until the manifestation of the sons of God. I believe you are that son of God that scripture is talking about. I feel that there is an expression of Christ that is already being formed in you, and it is unstoppable. I say it is unstoppable. Your journey cannot be aborted. You are that beauty that God himself has faith in. He knows that when he releases you, the earth will see him better. You are the hope of God, and God has a lot of confidence in you. He is not wasting resources to make you better, because he knows that when he's done, he will reap a great harvest through your life. Can we be on our feet and exalt and adore this God?